Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning, and we have a very special guest. Sally Struthers is back with us. Sally, I don't know how many times we have done shows, but any time you're in town, you get up, and you're up late every night. You don't go to bed till it's very early in the morning, but you're always here. Thank you for...
It's because it's you, Ted, and we love you so much.
We have such a great time. Patrick Ahern is also here. Patrick gets up all the time.
Oh, I get up all the time.
I go out for my walk, and I love coming here. Yeah. Ted and I, Ted's like family now. I mean, we've known each other for so long.
We are. We've done so many shows. We do a lot of things. We know the same people.
Yeah.
And I know something about you that your listeners don't know. You are very generous in your off time because you have helped Patrick record many things he needed to record.
We do that. We do that. It's my honor to be able to do that. Sally, you're in town for Love Letters. What a great show. It's just you and Patrick. And what a great show it is.
Well, it's Patrick's first time dipping his toe into the waters of acting but just sitting still. It's a whole other art.
It is an art.
And I've done this show several times, and it's my joy to be doing it with my beloved Patrick Ahern. It's just my joy. He was made everything about his life to do this role of Andrew Ladd the Third.
You two were made to do this role. I just sat there and thought, the chemistry and everything.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have talked about doing this before, not the two of us. I just said, what about if... we do Love Letters sometime for, something to bring Sally in for a short amount of time. And we had bantered around a couple of names and Joe Insko from Richmond, who Sally hasn't worked with.
But I know Joe.
Yeah. Would be terrific. But then when I called her with everything, Clue was taken away from us. She was busy with the shooting of the new series. Can you at least come for a couple of weeks? What do you think? Could we do Love Letters together? And she said, yeah, under one condition. And I said, what's that? And she said, that you do it with me. And I was like, oh, boy.
Good for you, Sally.
Oh, no. How am I going to fit this in?
It was a given in my heart. And, he's magnificent, everything.
Yes.
And he's got a lot of gifts. I think Buddhists think that, and I'm simplifying their beliefs, but Buddhists believe that when you're about to be born, your soul passes a table with gifts on it, and some about to be born babies choose piano playing, and some choose writing, and some choose kindness, whatever they choose, a gift. And that's what they arrive to Earth to be. And Patrick's a greedy baby because he went past that table and he took them all.
He did.
I don't know. I'm trying not to be angry at you about that. You do everything too well.
Is this the first time the two of you have worked together on stage?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. I mean, I've directed her a couple times, Ted. I mean, I sometimes will pop up in the Christmas show, and I did the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber, but it's really hard. I'm a perfectionist. And if I am committing to playing a role in a musical or a play, I've got to really focus just on that.
Yeah.
And when I came to Riverside, I made it clear that, yes, I've done many, many shows, but my focus was on making Riverside something special, something recognized, something wonderful for people to come, actors from all over the country, like Sally Struthers, to say, wow, what great work they do. And in order to do that, I have to take a step back from doing that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it. The thing about doing Love Letters with Sally was initially I was like, oh, my God, can I do this? I haven't been on stage in a bit doing a character, a role. And I just said, well, you know what you always say, and I do believe this. If I think I've learned everything in life, then why bother? Just sit back, relax, and, you know. But I'm still learning,
yeah.
And this is a classic example of it.
Your facial expressions through as the show goes on were just perfect.
Thank you. It's just something that you you trust your instinct and your gut, because you don't want to do too much, but you do want to allow the people to see what you're thinking. And
that's, you both did that so
yeah.
well.
And she's so funny. I mean, Melissa has got mm-hmm. such a sense of humor, and you know, there's no filter with her. She just says it like it is. And I think that's one of the things that he
Sally.
Finds so charming. And that's Sally. So there's times when I feel like I have to laugh, you know, because if I'm writing or reading that letter, I'm gonna have a chuckle from, you know. And it's just one of those, I can't believe she's saying that. You know?
Right away, real early in the show, you ask her four questions. I think it's four.
Yeah.
And her answers are yes, 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 and yes. And it's those kinds of things.
Yeah.
When you had to give quick answers, you would give quick answers.
Yeah.
And it's especially the Christmas letter.
Yeah.
The Christmas letter.
Well, that's interesting because me personally, I hate those Christmas letters. I just, if I get those things, I'm like, I don't even bother.
Right.
And then I had my cousin, my first cousin, Chuck, who is really my only link to that generation of, you know, my mom and dad and my mom's eldest sister, my Aunt Helen. It's her son. And he's always been very supportive of my career. And he was in the audience last night with his partner, Judy. And it struck me last night as I was reading it. He dated a woman who he was with for a long time. They never married, but they were together for probably 15 years. And she sent those Christmas letters every year. And I didn't really even know her family, but I got them every year.
What happens is people tend to pontificate
yeah.
when they write those letters, and they gloss over and skip anything that's negative in their family's life and just make everything sound like Leave It to Beaver.
Yep.
Father knows best.
Yep.
And when my character in this play that we're doing now calls you on the carpet for that mm-hmm. pontificating letter,
mm-hmm.
and then you write and tell the truth,
yep.
the difference between the two letters is glaring.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, it's funny, when I was growing up, my dad was in politics, and when we would go to church on Sundays, you know, you'd walk down the aisle and you'd be pressed and put together. And you know, there are people go, oh, they have the perfect life. Or even we would say, oh, they're the Paul Deans. They were the perfect people. And
Paul Deans?
Yeah. And I used to say to myself, BS.
Yeah.
If they're that perfect, there's something wrong.
And that's what, and this show brings that out so well.
Yeah, yeah,
With the two characters. The other thing that strikes you right away is just Sally. I got to see the dramatic side of the brilliance that you can put in, whether it's comedy or something that's serious. You got to do it all last night in that show.
I loved doing it all in one piece.
Yeah.
And you know something? I always try to explain to people that if you took 10 people off the street and asked them to step into an outer office and handed them each a page of dialogue that was dramatic, these people aren't actors. You've just stopped them on the street. And you give them quite a while to look at it, and then you ask them one at a time to go into a room and read the paragraph out loud to the people in the room. A good deal of them, probably 50% or more, would do a decent job. But if you take another 10 people, a sampling of these people on the street, hand them a paragraph of comedy, and ask them one at a time to go into a room and read it to somebody and elicit laughter, they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because laughter is much more difficult
yeah.
to achieve
yeah.
out of the audience than just quiet listening. So to me, the dramatic part is the easiest, and it's the absolute finite timing yeah. of a twist in your voice, a cock of your head to get a laugh. And I've been fine-tuning that for about 60 years.
And
so
you are so good at this. And then your facial expressions of just a couple times of just these big smiles And you can just see it. I mean, it matched what she was writing you.
I'm glad that comes, you know, it's nice to hear that comes across.
Yeah. We need to take a quick break and come back. It is Love Letters at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through August the 4th. So you need to get tickets right now, riversidedt.com. Patrick Ahern is here. Sally Struthers is here this morning. And we will continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Sally Struthers here this morning, along with Patrick Ahern, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, Love Letters through August the 4th, riversidedt.com. And it's I didn't know what I was walking into, and I had not read what was going to happen. And I even said at intermission, Patrick, I said, I don't know where this is going. As far as I didn't know what was going to happen. I was liking it,
yeah.
But I didn't know where you were, what was going to happen.
Yeah, when I first read it, you know, I didn't want to know too much about it. I wanted to just take it in.
That was me.
I was reading something new. I did bring up on YouTube some interviews with the author, and there is a really great interview with the author and Brian Dennehy, the great actor Brian Dennehy, about his experience doing Love Letters with the actress Mia Farrow. And I loved what Brian Dennehy had to say. It was just some really interesting things. So I saw some of that stuff, and then I read it. This was, you know, a couple months before we have done it. And I'm glad that it progressed that way with me, because my initial thought was, oh, but God, I gotta rehearse, I gotta do this, gotta. And I think if you allow yourself to overthink it, or even allow yourself to say, well, I know I'm reading from the script, but I'm still gonna memorize it, I think it may ruin it. I think you've gotta just make it feel as though each time you do it, it's spontaneous. It's fresh. And that's what's so great about working with Sally, because it's like, I can't wait to get out there, because you listen to what the person is saying. It's like, as you're reading that letter, you're taking it in like it's the very first time, so that you don't plan how you're, some actors, they plan it all out. I don't like that. I like to be in the moment.
That's what makes it
and
so
I
good.
Like it to be a little different each time. And that's when I direct, I say that to the actors. This is a collaborative process. I want to hear from you, how you feel. And you have to bring it each time and whatever works for you. And that's the joy of doing this, because Sally's right. Last night, some other things came to me. And that's the joy of what we do, is that it's you captivate an audience for that period of time. They're all in the same space. And you try to hold them.
I'm raising my hand. Ted, may I talk?
You may talk.
Okay. Speaking of being in the moment, there's an announcement before every show, no matter what show you're going to put on and no matter what theater you're in North America. And it's a phenomenon of the new technical age, and it's, you know, would you please turn off your cell phones, power them down. It's polite to the other people who came to see the show with you, and polite to the actors. And you know, our first performance was Wednesday. It was a matinee. There were over 300 people there. It was we call that a big house. We call that a tushy in every seat. And they were a wonderful audience, by the way. However, they were all older, like me, even probably older than I am, and this is a very quiet play, because you saw it last night.
It is.
You know, and you don't, even when somebody sneezes out there or coughs, it can make certain members of the audience miss a couple of words that you're saying, and every word in this play is important. Mm-hmm. During Act One, 4 different telephone calls arrived out loud, out in the house in the dark. You know, boop, 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 boop. And I'm reading this sad part, and boop, 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 boop. Okay. Oh my Lord. And I would wait, and then I would start my line, and you know, 7 minutes later, somebody else's phone. Oh dear. So I talked to the young man who makes the announcements from the back, from the stage manager's booth. His name is Cody, and he's an amazing young man. And I said, would you please make an announcement before we walk out for Act Two and say that you need people to power off their cell phones, and if they don't know how to do that,
ask that last
someone
night
near
too.
You to do it. And when that announcement was made, the whole audience laughed and clapped and cheered because they were saying with the all of the noise they made at that moment that they too were disturbed, that those interrupted our performance.
Yeah.
It takes the actors and the audience completely out of the moment, and then you have to get them back again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Act Two of our first performance on Wednesday, another phone went off, and I... every ounce of me wanted to break out of character, rest my elbow on my desk, and say to the audience, really?
Take those phones and leave
really?
Them in your car.
Yeah, so, but then one of the kids told me backstage that someone came to him after the show, and her phone had gone off, and she didn't know what to do about it, and she was embarrassed that it had happened. And this was another show some other year, but she was blind. And she didn't know how to power down her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I asked Cody to make part of his announcement. And if you don't know how to do it, ask your server or someone else around you to help you. And sure enough, the announcement being made again then last night, our second performance, not a phone, not one went off.
No.
The whole two acts. And it's just huge that people, you know.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah,
that it does affect.
If I'm in the audience, and that happens, I just go out of my mind, especially when you've directed something. And yeah, but as a performer, and I have to remind Wednesday it happened to me. I heard it the first time, and my inner voice was like, "Tune it out, tune it out, tune it out," because it really takes you away. And you can't let it take you away with this.
Even people in the dark who look at their phone
yeah.
during a performance,
the light's on.
The light comes
and
on.
And everybody yeah. around them can see it. It's
yeah.
just, you know, if you can't turn your phone off for a performance, then you've got an addiction that you probably
yeah.
should check into some technology rehab to be able to let go for a couple of hours.
But can I ask you a favor, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like you to do that ringtone for me, for my phone.
That is good. People have the craziest ringtones.
It yeah. is, but yep. it's a good reminder that when you're out in public like that, and in a performance like that,
yeah.
to keep the you notice those things on stage.
Absolutely, yep.
So, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. It is Love Letters. We should say. I mean, it's just you'd said to me, it's just the two of us, and I just kept thinking, how is this going to work? And you really are. It begins with how are they in like second grade or second?
Pretty
third?
Young.
Well,
yeah.
old enough to write a note to one another, like
yeah.
maybe seven.
And it goes
or
from
eight, yeah.
there. It goes there through all the seasons of life, and
mm-hmm.
it's just fascinating, and especially in. Sometimes there's a lot of communication. Other times it's only at Christmas. But you walk away from it and you think of relationships in your own life.
Oh yeah,
and it really makes you think: Are there people I should reach out to? Are there
yep.
people I should stay closer touch with?
Yeah, no, it's he just and it did it. It was nominated for the Pulitzer Prize. I don't know if it won the Pulitzer Prize, but I think Love Letters.
It did win a Pulitzer.
Did it
Prize.
Win it? Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
A.J.
Yeah.
Gurney is a wonderful author. Wrote many plays. His dear friends called him, I don't know why, Pete Gurney, when his initials are A.J. I'm sure there's a story in there somewhere, but he knew what he was doing when he sat down at his typewriter.
Well, and it's got to be an honor for him. All the great actors who have done it. For him. I mean, gosh, there was not too long ago, maybe within the last 10 years, there were a bunch of them that were doing it in a rotation on Broadway with Carol Burnett did it. And I mean, I can't think off the top of my head all the different people, but so you know it's good when Brian Dennehy signs up to do it. You
yeah.
know? Yeah. No, it's been an honor, and this is great.
Just the two of you up there, that was what was just your timing and just the Sally, you just going in and out of and your character. You I mean you have some real talk about some real serious topics in your family and things that happened in your life that just in a sentence, and we all know what you're talking about, and it's just like, ooh.
And some of the things just slide in. Like,
right.
I'm reading a letter, and all of a sudden she talks about the stepfather.
Right. That was, that's what I was
moment
thinking of.
That she brings up.
There's
and
one
it's
line.
Like,
it's just a
whoa.
Mention. It's just a slight mention. Yeah. And that, if not consciously, subconsciously, colors for the audience, my character's Melissa. Melissa's trials and tribulations in her life, starting when she was very young.
Yeah.
So you see why she goes downhill from her childhood.
And so often you mention about that you have in you that your family and you have money, but that's not buying you happiness, and you wish.
Oh, that's whole section. I love that. There's so much meaning to that.
Yeah.
No.
So you brought your wife last night to the show.
Yeah.
Did she enjoy it?
Yes,
too?
She did.
Oh, good.
Yeah. No, at the end, when after the bows and the standing ovation, and you walked off, and she looked at me and she said, "Profound."
Oh,
that was her word.
Wow.
Since she looked at me and said, "Do you know what that means?" that's how you kind of. I just sat there for a minute after you two walked off.
Do your listeners know that you took a speaking class in college?
It was called interpretive reading. And that's what I sat there last night thinking, my professor would have just loved that I was here. Yeah. And it just, you put it all into, if we had gone to and seen a play like this, a show like this, I would have gotten way more out of the class, because that whole class kept coming to me. We had a purple textbook and I just kept thinking about it.
Well, we are, Patrick and I, or any duo of actor-actress who do this show, you are tied to the unnatural phenomenon of only having your voice and facial expressions to tell a whole lifetime.
Right.
And we're each at a desk facing the audience. We never look at one another. We're not walking back and forth on the stage. There is no scenery. There are no light changes. There's no other people singing and dancing. There's just two people reading. And if that sounds boring to the listeners today, it's so not boring.
No. I never thought of that. You do.
We did talk about, I think probably next week, we're going to add a little dance number somewhere.
I think you could right before intermission.
Yeah, a pas de deux where I lift him into the air.
Yes,
and spin him around.
Whirl around.
Yeah.
You know, our senses of humor are very similar. And back when we were first talking about this, and I showed her a picture of the set of The Wizard of Oz, and I said, she said, "Wow, what a set!" And I said, "Yeah, we're going to keep it up for Love Letters. We're going to use that set." And then we went back and forth with this banter, and she said, "We could probably do it on skates." And,
skate around.
Yeah, and then it went to what do you think about these costumes? And she sent me these various pictures of people in the 1920s and 30s with these outfits on and in skates. And
the flying monkeys could have come
taking
you from different.
When she's drying out. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's.
RiversideDT.com for love letters. You've got till August the 4th. And so, it's just another week.
Yeah.
So
and I'll tell you, I thought, I knew this was going to happen with the show. Everybody is waiting to the last minute. But this time, you're waiting to the last minute with just a 2-week run.
Yeah.
The other times, it might be a 7 or 8 week run. But yesterday, the sales just jumped like out of nowhere.
They should.
And I think now that a couple audiences have been in and people are saying, "Oh wow, that's really, really great." I would expect that next week will fill up fast.
I want to talk a little bit more about this when we come back. Also, the show Patrick mentioned at the beginning, Sally, about
Netflix. Had a new show I just did.
Yeah, we want to talk about that too. So we'll do that. Sally Struthers here, Patrick Ahern, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, RiversideDT.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Great stuff this morning with Sally Struthers here, Patrick Ahern here. Love letters right now at Riverside through August the 4th. So,
yeah.
Thank you again, the two of you, for not only getting up and coming in, but just for bringing this to this area. Again, yeah. I just sat there and I thought, you never know with Patrick.
Yeah. And well, you know something, Ted. You might want to come back next week because we're doing the new concept. We're trying it out where they eat, you know, across the hall.
Right.
But next week, yeah, the patrons. But next week, Sally and I are going to do one of the shifts.
We're going to wait on people.
Wait on people and be in the show.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I started out my life at an acting college in Pasadena, California, and my father had gone bankrupt at 49 years old, and I had to get two jobs to continue going to that school. And I was a waitress at a restaurant across the alley from the school, and I also worked at the drugstore across the street from the restaurant, stocking the shelves. And so waitressing is in my blood.
Yeah. So we just thought we would... No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Said that to Sally last night. We should do this one night. Yeah.
Sally, though, would do it. I mean,
I would do it.
For the listeners, here's what we're talking about. It is a dinner theater in that people can have all for 26 years mm-hmm. come to Riverside, and they're in this very large room that has a stage at the front of it. They eat dinner there on four different tiers and on the ground level. And then all of that is cleared away and the show begins. What they're trying out now, as of this week, is letting the audience eat dinner in the banquet room before. And then when they're finished, they move over to the theater to see the show. And then the servers can clean up when the audience isn't even in that banquet room anymore.
Yeah.
So it's efficient and it's different. And I just remember that one of my most interesting times as a teenager was when I was raised Lutheran, and so the kids were called the Luther League, and they had a progressive dinner for us, and we got to go to somebody's house for hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah.
Then we all got in our cars and went to the next house for dinner, and then we got in a car and drove to the next house, and there was dessert. I thought that was just the coolest thing. And that's what Riverside is trying to do now, is give people a new experience and at the same time make the running of everything more efficient. And so they're feeding people on one side and then letting them move to the theater and watch the show on the other side. And so that happened for the first time last night.
So it's something new. And
well, the bigger picture, Ted, is that, you know, we would like to convert the theater proper space into a bigger theater because, you know, as we are now called the Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, the mission is to evolve as a performing arts center. And we can easily turn that space, which now seats about 400, a little over 400 people with the tables. If we take the tables out and we put in theater seating on, because the tiered structure is all there, that easily becomes 900 to maybe even 1,000 seats.
Oh, that's even more than I thought.
You know, and what people have to understand in our business is you have to be dynamic. You can never sit back and just be the way you were for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You got to roll with the time.
Well, that's what you've done with the theater, Patrick.
Yeah,
you came in and you took, which was a regional theater that had some duds on stage and some better productions, and now you are doing Broadway-worthy productions every single show. So you have changed the theater, and people love it. People that were, I don't know, about going to Riverside, now they're clamoring to go there because you changed everything. So this is just another change, and it's for the better.
Yeah, it's not just, we want to give a different experience, but it's to try this out to get ready for our future, you know, because I think that that's where it really is. And we want to be so much of our audience, our patrons, are so proud of what they have in their own backyard. And we need to continue to evolve as the performing arts center for this region. We have a large percentage. In 2023, I think we were close to 17% of our audience was from out of state. So we're gathering more and more people from outside because our reputation is strong for what we're there for, theater. You know, we're not there to give you a five-star meal. I mean, it's not that we don't want to do that, but it's just, it's a duo. You get the, I like to think of it as we do great theater. We want to be a terrific professional regional theater, and you have the convenience of having your meal there too if you would like.
If you want to do that,
yeah. And if you don't want to and you just want to come and have a drink and maybe get an appetizer, you have that option as well. And that's where we're going.
And big picture with the whole nonprofit, there are things going on here that this is all one of the pieces.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, look at where we are. Look at the parking that we have. I mean, you go to some theaters up in D.C., you're paying $50 to park your car for the night before you buy a ticket that's $250. And we're, like Sally says, I'm proud of the fact that, yes, I don't have a Broadway budget, but I try to find the best talent, and I try to make our shows look from a costume and a scenic design approach fantastic. And people come for the total experience. People are not just coming because they hear one good singer or there's one Sally Struthers that comes and then, you know, everybody else on stage is, well, they're there. No, we do quality theater that's on par with our neighbors up north in D.C.
Yep.
and down south in Richmond.
Yep.
And the dinner is there for your convenience.
The four people at our table last night were from Luray.
Yeah.
A couple hours from here. But they come over the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
And they have season tickets. And they have, he said, for 8 years.
That's great.
They've been coming.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I just had some surgery recently, and my anesthesiologist came in the room, and he was like, oh, my God, Mr. Riverside.
Right.
And I said, you come to Riverside? Oh, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
My wife and I are just blown away by what you do there and the shows. And how lucky are we to be in this community? And that just kind of, here I am getting ready to be put out. And
already had a drug to relax him because people have anxiety when they're about to have surgery. And then he's lying there. He's got that horrible shower cap on his head. He's half out of it. And then the nurse says, oh. Your original thing that you did where people got to know you was you were in the original cast of Phantom of the Opera on Broadway.
Not Phantom, Les Mis.
Les Mis. Could you please sing for me? He's lying on his back in a hospital gown with a puffy hat on his head. And he starts to sing to her.
She asked if I would sing, you know, just charming story.
Yeah.
But I got rolled into the OR and they... started giving you the stuff, and they're all going about, and this lady looks over on my right side. I'm lying down with that thing on my head and everything, and she said, where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from here. I'm from Fredericksburg. And I said, I'm originally from New York. Oh, I'm from New York. And I said, grew up in central New York, but I spent the majority of my adult life in New York City. New York City, what did you do there? And then I started with, you know, well, I was a performer, and I was in the original production of Les Mis on Broadway, and I did Chicago and The King and I, and I toured with the Phantom of the Opera as the Phantom. She said, oh, my God, Phantom of the Opera? Oh, could I ask you a favor?
She didn't.
I said, yeah. And I thought maybe she was going to say, could I have your autograph or something?
Right.
And she said, could you sing a little bit of that song? And I said, Music of the Night? And she said, yes. And I'm in this euphoric state.
Yeah, the drugs are really working on him now.
Yeah.
And I started, nighttime sharpens, going into the song. And I finally got to just maybe a minute's worth through. And I looked up and they were all surrounding the bed, like all sides.
The table, yeah.
And now I'm probably seconds from being out. And I looked up and thought, did I die? Maybe am I gone? And then I looked to my right, and the lady's there tearing up and saying, oh, I've got chills. And then some lady on the other side is like, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years, and nothing like that has ever happened. Oh, and I was out. That was the last I remember before I woke up in recovery. And when I went back for my follow-up visit 5 days later, because they had to do another quick procedure, the physician's assistant said, you're the talk of Mary Washington.
Of course you are. Only Patrick.
So, you know, I'm doing my job all the time. Even when I'm going there for surgery, I'm still marketing. I'm
never, never an off day. Never an off day for Patrick Ahearn.
Yeah. So, yeah, you heard it here, folks, because it'll be in the book one day.
Someday. Yep. Someday. Sally, you're a classic spy is what you're in now.
I can't believe you know the title of it.
I do my research on you. I follow you.
Well, here's the deal, Ted. I've done 6 or 7 television series in my career. But, of course, the biggest one that people my age come up and talk to me about is All in the Family. And then 20 years later, I land a role on a series called Gilmore Girls, and I do that for 7 years. And that's a whole new generation of people that come up to talk to me. And often a mother-daughter team will approach me somewhere. And I'll hear the daughter say to her mother, oh, my God, Mom, that's Babette. And the mother looks and she says, no, that's Gloria. And they have a little argument in front of me about who I am, which is pretty cute.
Yeah.
But it's been another almost 20 years that I haven't been able to get arrested in film or television. I've just done theater. And I was asked this year to do the Emmy Awards. Now, I haven't been near the Emmy Awards in 50 years. 50, 5-0.
Wow. Yeah, that would be right.
So Rob Reiner and I were asked to do the memoriam segment. This was on January 15th or something of this year, 6 months ago. And I did that. And then the next morning, I had an audition, which you don't get anymore because COVID changed show business completely, and all your auditions are done by making self-taping. You make a video of yourself, and you send it electronically to someone's office, and they look at everybody's video auditions. You never get to meet people anymore. But this was a live audition at Universal Studios to read for a brand new series for Netflix with Ted Danson. And so I was a nervous wreck because it's like trying to, get back on that bicycle again. Yeah. And so it was in the morning after the Emmy Awards the night before. And so I'm like talking to you in the morning here after
doing a show.
So I do it and I find out I landed it. And I just did 8 episodes of A Classic Spy with Ted Danson for Netflix. And it's coming on, I believe, in November after the election.
Interesting that you've done network TV and now to do something like Netflix as the whole industry kind of changes.
Yeah, it's all very different now. I mean, on the set they use 4 cameras at the same time and they're digital. And your makeup is different because when you make people up for digital camera work, they look terrible in traditional makeup. They came up with a new kind of makeup that makes you look your best with a digital camera. And you're lit differently, and it's shot at breakneck speed because rather than doing a setup where they first are on Patrick for all of his lines, then they're on me, then they're on a group shot, they've got 4 cameras going. So they can shoot every shot they need all in one take. It doesn't take a whole day to do one scene. One scene can be over in an hour. So
interesting.
It's a whole new world, and I learned so much this last spring. And Ted Danson is so tall, and he's as nice as he is tall, and he spreads such comfort on the set. He is the dearest man. And when we finished the 8 episodes, this big, beautiful wooden box arrived at my home. Then I found out from texts from the different cast members that they got the same box from Ted, an ornate box, and you open it up, and a giant spyglass, a giant looking glass from Ted, because everyone associates that with being a spy. and a lovely letter from him. And he will, if the show is a hit and it moves on, we won't be in it anymore, those of us that were in the senior living situation in this particular part of A Classic Spy. He will now, working for a detective agency, be sent to solve a different crime. And I didn't realize that until more than halfway through filming.
Okay.
We were on maybe our fifth episode, and someone let me know, you know, well, this is it for all of you, these eight. You won't be coming back. And I cried, and then I stopped, and I thought, but how lucky am I to have done these eight shows and be relevant again?
Yeah. Classic Spy, Netflix, that you said towards the end of the year. Need to take a quick break. Sally Struthers here, Patrick Ahern here, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Get your tickets to Love Letters. It's only through August the 4th. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 and wrap this up on WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Sally Struthers and Patrick Ahern here this morning. They are in Love Letters at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. You do not want to miss this. You've done a lot of things at Riverside, Sally, and this is so much different. There is a little bit of comedy in there. You're able to use your talent to bring it out, but it really is a dramatic role, both you and Patrick.
It is, and what I love about Patrick Ahern and what he's done for the theater is that he really mixes things up. He restages and rethinks old classics. Mm-hmm. He brings the newer things to Riverside, and then he brings me in to do Love Letters, which is a complete change of pace from everything. So yep. it's an honor to work with you, Patrick. I'm talking about him like he's dead, so I have to look at him.
This always happens when you and I do this. Yeah.
We're googly-eyeing each other, and I forget that he's just sitting to my right.
Yeah, I know. But I thought I was almost dead in that operating room.
Right.
Yeah. No, but this has been such a treat for me, too, because I directed Sally in Hello, Dolly! and Full Monty, and observed other directors work with her here, and I would always go, gee, it'd be fun to be on stage with her sometime. We can't do that in the capacity that I am. So now this is like such a treat.
The emotion at the end is so great.
Yeah.
When you two at the end stand up and do your bow, and again, it was a standing ovation last night, but just the affection between
you
two.
But she needs to direct because she might have had a handful of two or three words to say to me, because I said to her, you know, Sally, you got to be like my director, because this is my first experience with this. And she was so precise on what to say to me that just clicked. It just, you know, and like I said earlier, if you can still be learning, it's a great thing, you know. And to tag on all of this, for the greater good of the fact that we are now a nonprofit organization, which can do so much more with the grants and the donations and all the things that we can receive, there's no stopping us. And I know we'll see you on Monday at our press conference, because we're going to do an official rollout. We've made this happen in record time. It usually takes many organizations to make the transition from a for-profit to a nonprofit, 3 to 5 years. And we've done it in just about a year. And
we are out of time. Well, yeah. We will talk about this much more on this show. We will do podcasts. Sally Struthers. Sally, thank you again. Appreciate you coming in this morning.
It's such a pleasure to see you every year, Ted.
It is. It's great to see you. And thank you again for Love Letters, riversidedt.com. Jump on that website. Get your tickets. Patrick Ahern, Sally Struthers. Thank you both.
Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for
See you Monday.
Listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.